Yeah.
Thank you for that helpful introduction. Not that I deserve it. So, it is impossible to fill the void of eternity. So, I'll start this in the first eternity and we'll start with a prayer that he normally does. Namaste Sate Te Jagat Karnaya. Namaste Chite Sarva Loka Asraya. Namo Dvaita Vattaya Mukti Pradaya. Namo Brahmane Vyapine Sasvataya. Tvamekam Saranyam, Tvamekam Varenyam, Tvamekam Jagat Palakam Swaprakasam, Tvamekam Jagat Kartra Patra Prahatra, Tvamekam Param Nishchalam Nirvikalpam. Vayanam Vayam Vishanam Vishananam Gati Praninam Pavanam Pavananam Mahauche Padanam Tonantra Tonekam Paresam Param Rakshanam Rakshananam Vaham Tvam Svamano Vayam Tvam Vajamo Vayam Tvam Jagasati Rupam Namama Sadekam Nidhanam Niranam Mesam Vavam Bodhipotam Saranyam Vrajama Vavam Bodhipotam Saranyam Vrajama. It was wonderful to see that today's bhajans started with Meva Mare Ke Namare, Pramane Seva Mare, and then we ended up with Moni Koi Chunenge. What a fitting. In the Jati, Meva means fruit. And meva, whether the fruits we get or not. But seva, but I want to do my service. And I'll get into what service is and what I think it is. And it ended up Kori Chuneya. We all are nirmal when we are born. But Nayo said, Jo Maya ki jaat bhagat. तो हमारी चुनरिया मैली हो जाती है तो टुडे द अपॉर्चुनिटी दैट आर्य समाज हैज गिवन मी टू स्पीक एंड आई एम थैंकफुल टू दैट आई वुड लाइक टू डिवोट इट टू वन वेरी सिंपल थॉट प्रोसेस दैट हैज बीन गाइडिंग मी for the last 10 plus years. And this year is simple and straightforward. Follow your instincts. Follow your instincts non-violently. If I had to put in another sentence, I would say, obey and obey yourself only. Obey and obey yourself only. Non-violently. So with that, we shall go to the first line of the presentation. It says, hate the sin, but not the sinner. One of the things that happens to all of us, that when we come across something that does not meet our expectations, or does not meet our belief system, we normally hate, especially if it is something too very different from our belief system. So what this saying is that hate the sin, paap se dur raho, paapi se nahi. So from my perspective, what is paap? In English, it is called evil. What is evil? Evil, I believe, is any time an individual resorts to violence, it is foul. Any time anyone resorts to violence, whether it be in mind, word or deed, it is sin, it is evil. If I had to put it another way I would define pap or sin is the following. That whatever your heart tells you, your instincts tell you, whatever your inner voice tells you, if you do not obey it non-violently, you are committing a sin. So example I can give, and of course, and before I go any further, let me ask you for forgiveness in case I say something that you do not agree with, or if you feel that intellectually it is not appealing to you. Please forgive me. My attempt is to say what I think and what I feel. My attempt is not to corroborate or negate somebody else. So please forgive me for that. Also, one of the questions you should ask yourself before anything that I say you agree with is that anytime and somebody tells you to do something or other thing, first question you should ask that individual, all of them, how much of that do you practice? And I will fail on that count miserably, I admit. But I'm making an attempt and I'm making progress. So going back to in English here in America, they say, can you walk the talk? It is as simple as that. That if one cannot walk the talk, then it's a sin. It's as simple as that. So going to the next slide, okay. We are the instruments of God, His wish is expressed through us. So I was asked this question sometime by an elderly gentleman when I was in India, and he said, we should look for the proper time to do something. And he asked me a question, Atul, did you decide when you were going to be born? Did you pick the time? And that really struck me, that none of us chose where and how or when we are going to be born. And where I want to go from here is the following. That is it possible for any human, no matter who that is, who can uncategorically state that I control my thoughts, that my mind thinks only of the things that I want to think. I don't believe so. Personally, I do not believe that such an individual exists. Another way I can give the same example is that let's say if somebody is making $1 million in stock market today, can that individual repeat that performance tomorrow and day after and day after? So, for example, those are the things. So, my head, I can tell it to go up or down. Or if I turn my car, turn on the car will turn off. So, those are the so-called my things. But if thoughts were mine, if I could dictate my mind to think the way I want it to think, then give me ideas today that I can make another $1 million today. So, that's what I'm headed with. That when a computer turns on, it is electricity that powers the computer. So similarly, human beings have a connection with an energy that human beings cannot understand. Another way I can give the same example is that a two-dimensional being can never think of what three dimensions are like. Similarly, if the God, the Almighty, whatever one wants to call, that is beyond the comprehension of human beings, we cannot comprehend that. But our connection to that Almighty is through our brains. the thoughts that come to us. And that's why, going back to the previous slide for a moment, that the thoughts of a sane person, or so person whom we call evil or terrorist, they come from the same place and no other place. That is our connection. So therefore, hate the saint but not the sinner. And going back again this slide, okay, we are but instruments of God. Why do I say that? Because we can only act on what thoughts that come in your mind. Only thoughts can be converted into action and nothing else. And therefore, we are nothing else but the instruments of God. And therefore, hopefully, He can cultivate in us humility, that whatever I may or may not have achieved is not necessarily because of me, but because of the circumstances and the thought that came to me. I can give you another example along those lines. It's for a moment, flashback to your youth, when you were in college or school. And let's make a rough assumption that those students who were with you were of roughly the equal intelligence and roughly equal hardworking, within a certain band. However, as the world looks at it today, somebody with success, financial success or otherwise, somebody is way far ahead of you, somebody is way behind you. So there is something else beyond simply intelligence and hard work. And that's, again, one can go to the theory of karma, luck and whatever, but I will not go to that at this point right now. We'll just move on to the next slide from there. So, Ishwar. Unfortunately, we were not born with any religion. We were born with one simple thing, as a human being. However, because of the family in which we were born, more than likely our religion was determined. More than likely that determined the school we went to, what kind of friends we had, who are our uncles, who are aunties, and so on and so forth, and that determined our destiny in quite a bit of way. But the claim that all the religions are making, we know the absolute truth. I hope, for once, if they take back a step and say, nobody knows the truth. Nobody knows the absolute truth. If he knew, my God, it would be a different world. And for that, in Hindu Shastra, going to the next slide, okay, go further up a bit. No, go back. Okay. Our Shastra may add that slide for sooner or later. ईश्वर का वर्णन किया गया है नेति नेति हम ये कह वी कैन टेल दैट द ऑलमाइटी इज नॉट दिस ऑलमाइटी इज नॉट दैट ऑलमाइटी इज नॉट दैट बट बेस्ड ऑन व्हाट आई नो एंड बेस्ड ऑन द लेक्चर्स आई हैव हर्ड फ्रॉम आचार्य जी हियर इन द आर्य समाज वी डू नॉट से गॉड इज दिस इट इज नेति नेति वी कैन टेल व्हाट इट इज नॉट But we cannot tell what it is. So therefore, I will submit to you, nobody knows the absolute truth. Alright? So if I don't know the absolute truth, let's go to the next slide, then what is the truth? Shuru mein kaha, aap apna satya ka aaran karo, ahinsa dharan karke. So what is truth? There are innumerable definitions people talk about. Facts as being truth and simple. I have a very simple definition. Whenever I'm confronted with any situation in my life, and I believe that is true for everyone, that we immediately make a decision whether it is right or wrong. We do not go consult our holy books. We don't go consult our acharyas or holy men or pastors or Gauranga or MF, we make a decision right on the spot whether something is right or wrong. As I call it, in fact, I learned from Mahatma Gandhi, he's written it in his autobiography, that it is relative truth. It is not the absolute truth, it is the truth as it is being revealed to you. And therefore, whatever truth that truth is, and that's what I started out with, okay, follow your instincts, non-violent. Or obey and obey yourself only, non-violent. So your inner voice is always going to tell whether something is right or wrong. Whatever is right, practice it non-violent. So let's move one step further. And that's here and again the fourth principle of Arya Samaj. I just want to get to it. It says, Satya ke grahan karne aur satya ke chhodne mein sarvada udyat rehna chahiye. And that's what I'll define the relative truth as conceived by each person. Let's move to the next one. So, what happened is each of us follows our own truth. So, obviously, somebody else's truth is going to be different from our truth. But if we admitted that I don't know the absolute truth, then we have to respect the truth of the other person, because maybe he or she knows something that this time I disagree with or whatever, maybe not accept it. But maybe tomorrow something I will learn, and maybe that person has something right to say, and I learn it at that time point in time and I change myself. So immediately there is tolerance. Now let's go one step further. Going to the next slide. Okay. What is conflict? Ladai aur jhagda, kya hai? It is a matter of time before which we will come across someone whose belief system is diametrically opposite from ours. This happens between spouses, between families, friends, it happens all the time. Normally, how the conflicts have settled in the past, that somebody comes along and says, I'm stronger than you, I will beat you up, and you will have to submit to what I say. And that's what the wars were all about. However, Gandhiji taught me something interesting. He says that if I'm truly interested in changing the belief of another person, I must suffer. On the surface, what is astounding? Why should I suffer? Other person is wrong. Why should I suffer? So let's go to the next slide. The reason behind the suffering that was illustrated by Gandhiji as freedom struggle for India was, and besides many movements he led, one of the famous examples that is worldwide known and followed is Salt Satyagraha. What happened in Salt Satyagraha? We objected to an immoral law which was taxing the salt, the common salt, which the poorest as well as the richest person required. And the poorest person had to pay that tax. Considering this immoral law, we protested against it through Salt Satyagraha. And what did we do? We did nothing else, but if you want to see the original footage of the Salt Satyagraha, I have that. The Satyagrahis, the people insisting on following their own truth, Satyagrahis, all they had on clothes similar to the gold like person Jesuji's when they were white. They were given three simple instructions. You will go in a team of 10 people holding hands together to raise the salt. Second instruction was that when you reach up there, look at your aggressors in the eye because you love them. You do not hate them. Third and the final instruction to them was that when you are being hit by a lathi, lathi is not a simple bamboo stick. In the end of it, there's a razor sharp steel edge which can come upon your skull and spine and cause you a lot of injury. Take the blow like a man. Don't even flinch that the blow is coming, and maybe if I flinch, okay, it will hurt me less. With these three instructions, the Satyagrahis walked up to the salt bowl. The lattice were used on them, they went down like thin and pins. The nurses came, took them away, next year of 10 people went up. And it went on all day long. there was a UPI recorder at the time to dispatch went to 2200 newspapers around the world, where they are. And he wrote a long dispatch describing the day's event. The critical sentence was the last sentence. And it said the following. The West has lost any moral authority to rule anyone in the world today. Because when British citizens read this report in their newspaper, they asked themselves, are we barbarians? All these people want to solve. They don't mean any harm to us. Is this how we treat them? And that's the beauty of non-violence. That once the change of heart occurs in your adversary, it is permanent. And your adversary becomes your friend. We gain independence 17 years after that, but not a single shot was fired. Now, this may all sound good in theory, and we may say, well, maybe you can do it, but I can't do it. So let me ask you this. Does every mother in the world suffer not only the time of conception, not only the time of giving birth, but raising the child? There is unconditional love that mom offers to the child. And when there is adversity, where does child run? Child will run to mom. Knowing fully well that he or she is fully protected and he or she is going to get fully unconditional love no matter what he or she has done. So it is not such an abstract thought to say that I must suffer. And that is the root basis for non-violence. That when you are suffering, likelihood of you causing injury or harm to the other person is almost near. And that's the reason behind that. So, practice your non-violence. Let's move to the next slide. Also, there are examples in our Puranas. You can read them. They are Prahlad, Mirabai, Dhruv, Raja, Harishchandra. You know the stories very well. None of them resorted to the violence. None of them. However, they have taken a place in our culture and Sanskriti forever. They have become immortals by practicing non-violence. What did each one of them say? Mirabai was fed poison. And that poison, in theory, is supposed to kill the person. It did not happen. How did that Divya Shakti came into play? We cannot comprehend. It is not possible to argue logically what happened or what did not happen, find forensic evidence or whatever. But it did happen. Same thing, who in the world would have imagined that India would gain its independence without firing a shot? It had never happened historically before, ever. Who imagined? And if in today's world continues, all is raised for the arms and force, probably 50 years from now, not too very far. And this is what Albert Einstein said about Gandhiji when he passed away. That the generations to come will scarce believe that such a person in blood sweat walked upon this earth. So, here are the examples. It is not something new. Okay? Truth and non-violence are as old as the hills. On the next slide, please. As if those were not enough examples, allow me to show you some of the examples in Sweden's world. Starting with Arab Spring 2011, it was a totally non-violent movement, and we brought about freedom in Tunisia. There was weak freedom or free democracy in Egypt, and there are other examples. Other one, of course, let's talk about the United States. Civil rights movement led by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. What did they do? Their protesters simply refused to get off the bus. That this is reserved for white people, those are parks, refused to get off of them. I said, okay, I won't do it. You do whatever you want to do to me, throw me in jail, whatever you want to do, but I will not abide by something I feel is wrong. What did they do? They went to the lunch counters that we do not serve Negroes. It was written there. Okay? They said, no, we'll sit here until we are served. Well, they were beaten up by hoodlums and were not prosecuted. They were jailed for so-called causing violence, which they did not. They were bombed. The dogs were thrown at them. But what happened? When they practiced non-violence to the nth degree, the white majority here in the United States finally asked itself, is this correct? Is this all constitution is enshrined? All are born equal. And that's where the change occurred in this country. So it requires immense patience to practice non-violence. It is not easy. And pardon me if I keep going back to Mahatma Gandhi, some of you may or may not like him, it's a different story. But he writes that if you want to practice truth and non-violence, you will have to have as much patience as a person trying to empty the sea with a cup. That way patience is needed. It is difficult. How to cultivate it? One way to do this, going back to where I started from, follow your instincts, not law. Obey and obey yourself only, not law. So what your inner voice tells you as to what is right, ask yourself repeatedly, am I practicing that non-violent? Nobody is going to succeed immediately. Nobody can easily. And I don't know about his life, a lot of examples and so on and so forth. But he transformed himself from a little boy who was afraid of dark and snakes, to a man of freedom, where if you see the movie Gandhi, when he was tried for sedition, and the judge asked him, what punishment should I give you? And Gandhi replied, give me the maximum punishment that your government requires you to give me. Because otherwise, that judge will be wrong. So, I do not know if I've been as coherent as I tell it in presenting this presentation, but I urge, no matter what your source is, for me, the inspiration has come from Mahatma Gandhi, but for you, wherever it comes from, that is not the issue where it comes from. Because before we put any label on us, whether we are Indians, or Hindu, or Muslim, or Christian. And by the way, don't be surprised, this is just not a monopoly of Hinduism. What did Jesus Christ say when he was being crucified? They know not what they are doing, so please forgive them. In fact, many of you must have heard of Leo Tolstoy, the famous romantic novelist. Toward the end of his life, he became a reborn Christian. And he has written a whole book titled The Kingdom of God is Within You on one simple statement which is in Christianity, which is by the name by Matthew. Resist. Resist no evil with force. Resist no evil with force. The whole book is around this. And when Gandhi read, he got in correspondence with Leo Tolstoy, because there was another religion speaking the same thing that Hinduism has been saying for a very, very long time. So it's not a monopoly. So, first of all, let's make ourselves humans before we do any other monopoly. Do unto others that you would like others to do unto you. So there are many different ways, many different perspectives, different examples. So whichever happens to you, follow that, and thank you so much for listening to me, and I hope if I have heard anybody's question, I can even do that. If I am not in that to several instances,